This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/TVTimes3. Spell it all out. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, iPod, Android, or most likely, whatever it is you're listening to this on right now.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV. And have a couple of
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 121. I'm Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com.
I'm Jason the TVholic from TVholic.com.
And I'm Ray from Rayleigh.com. Sorry,
Ray.
I had to think about where I was from.
The gang is back together after a week of two guest stars.
Two guest stars, which I for some reason thought was the first time there had been two others. But
you didn't remember the Kyle Joe episode?
But Kyle totally.
Was an episode where I had to cancel last minute and yeah. You were able to get Joe and Kyle.
I did remember it after Kyle mentioned it that, yeah, Kyle and Joe were the first ones to
comment. Like, yes, the Emmy nominated for sound, episode number 98.
So, yeah, Mel and Liz were the first two female guests on the, podcast.
There you go. So, yeah, welcome back. Ray has settled in, sort of, to her new house. And I'm
beg to differ on that, but okay.
And I'm
in my new house.
Define settled in.
I'm echoing in it right now at this moment, but I don't know about settled.
Okay. All right, sorry. In her new house. I'm on my way to my new house. Not literally, I'm not driving there. I meant figuratively in the span of time.
I preferred if you were driving there.
A little car casting?
It would be weird if I was driving there and I don't own it yet.
It's coming into measure.
Can you imagine if I just knocked on the door? Excuse me. Hi. Because I have this pocket-sized tape measure that my cousin gave me. Not a pocket size, but like wallet size. You just kind of put it in your back pocket. So I guess your pocket size. And what if I just knocked on the door and was like, hello, I'm here to measure for my bedroom. What would they do? They'd probably call the cops.
Maybe. They might let you in. Who knows?
They might. They seem
Maybe
like
they're nice people.
It's the dishwasher for me. They got a brand new one. I didn't ask for that. So at least that'll work when I get there. So we don't have any news this week because it was a slow week for news.
Kind of a slow couple weeks because there was only we only talked about one thing last week about Cougar Town.
We'll start ramping up, I think. Sweep starts. When does Sweeps officially start? Because things are still in reruns, like for the next 2 weeks. I'm like, isn't it supposed to be February Sweeps? Ugh.
I think it's after the Super Bowl type of those weeks after that, I think, is when stuff is starting up.
Hey, can you tell me something? Because I know Amory just posted about it today. It's related to TV, so I'm not just randomly.
Sidebar.
It's not a sidebar. It's related to what you were just talking about.
Okay.
When does Game of Thrones start?
April 1st.
Okay, April 1st. Good.
April 1st.
I was afraid it was March 1st, and I was going to have to get HBO added to my internet, my TV stuff right away.
You got some time.
All right, good. Thanks. That was it.
Cool. I mean...
Told you it was related.
It is related.
Even
related to something I put on the blog today.
See? That's why I asked.
There you go. Ray's reading MyTakeOnTV.com. Are you? Everybody out there? Kyle? Jonathan? Patty? All right. So, I mean, and there's no DVDs either, though I did point out in an email earlier that I'm very excited that Rocco's Modern Life... Season 2 was on DVD, but I don't necessarily think you should, like, go out and buy it. but hey, if you're a big fan, go for it, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing really DVD-wise. I mean, the Hour series, British series, comes out on DVD, but it's only available, like, in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, Downton Abbey comes out. Season 2.
I think that's the following week, isn't it?
The 7th, February 7th. I didn't see that when I looked at this earlier, but anyway, I don't watch it, so. But Ray does.
Season 2?
Yeah, season 2 comes out. It's already out. It already aired in London. Yeah, so we're going to jump right into prime time, running together. Remember that time we were on the call and I found out that two of the stars of prime time, or of hang time, were married? I was really happy about that.
Was anyway, on this call?
You weren't. I think it was me. Somebody, the other person that was on the call with us was also a hang time fan, so they were excited to hear that. It might have been Kyle.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
That did happen.
It did happen. I didn't make that up. So, did I mention my dream that involved Perez Hilton and Ryan and Esposito? I mentioned it on Twitter, But I had castle-related dreams that Perez Hilton went on a shooting rampage, and, like, it was scary. And the only people that could save the day were Kevin Ryan and Javi Esposito, and Esposito specifically because he's a trained sniper, which I remember from an episode of Castle, and I brought it into my dream. And I woke up, I was afraid to close my eyes again because I was so convinced I was going to die. That was my TV-related ridiculous dream of weeks past that I had to share with everybody. And because of it, Clout thinks that I am influential about Perez Hilton.
Come to TV Times 3 and interpret the dream.
Yeah. Tell me, yeah, interpret my dream.
What does that mean?
Perez Hilton. So, yeah. Prime time. We're starting first with Heart of Dixie, Season 1, Episode 11, Hell's Bells. I always forget, Ray, that you watch this show.
Heart of Dixie? Why do you forget that? Do you watch it?
Yeah, given the list of shows that she watched last week, it seems be hard to remember which one she watches. It's very small.
I don't watch very many anymore.
You hated it when we first watched it.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't remember.
Anyway, no, I never hated it. I did always have an issue, which is why I found that her video so funny. I did always have an issue with believing her as a doctor because of her age, but that's it.
All right. Heart of Dixie. I liked this episode. I was a fan. Like, I enjoyed the pilot, and I liked it enough that, like, I wanted to keep watching it. But I think as the weeks have gone on, it's gotten more endearing to me, and I'm starting to invest more in the characters. And I don't hate Levin as much as I hated her. I think everybody's kind of starting to be a little more well-rounded. And I just enjoy
she's still pretty.
She's still pretty heinous, but not as bad.
Yeah, but they've sort of rounded out her backstory.
Yeah.
To give her a little more depth and not just this.
Though I do have trouble
over-the-top Southern Belle.
That Scott Porter, like, I have trouble believing that George would ever be interested in Lemon, let alone be engaged to her, let alone getting married to her. Anyway.
Yeah, well, the Lemon that you know now, or the Lemon that you see now, I think some of that goes sort of their history in that she's not necessarily been always like this.
Maybe.
But yeah, I sort of feel that way sometimes, too. Like, you see her do some things and you're just like, really?
I get the feeling that she wasn't like that before her mom left. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that.
However, she's still pretty
heinous.
But though, like, in this episode, even though she's not, I mean, she's obviously going after Zoe with the sort of hell week for becoming a Belle, they still show that little bit of vulnerability at the end where she sort of tells Zoe a little bit about, even though she's still like, you're taking that cupcake to go.
Right. I don't know. I think that I enjoy it very much. So I'm glad that it's doing well, you know, as well as a CW show can do these days.
Speaking of her not being believable as a doctor, the rap video.
Watch that video.
That was hilarious.
Wilson Bethel wrote, the guy who plays Wade, wrote that. And I think it's hysterically funny. And so topical and so, like, on point.
I love how everyone in the cast participated. That's my favorite part.
Yes. Oh my God, Scott and Wilson around the car, Wade and George, ridiculous. I love them both. Yeah, just okay. Doing really, I think the show is doing really well, and I'm enjoying it. And I don't really have much else to say beyond, I hope it continues to kind of do this thing where Brick is starting to soften a little bit to her, but still also, you know, not want her there. So I think it's interesting how we're kind of watching it play out.
Well, I think it's showing how, if a series in the beginning shows some signs of being entertaining, and how a series grows and how the characters,
right,
you just can't drop everything in the first episode or two, you know?
Right. Castle, Season 4, Episode 13, An Embarrassment of Bitches. I love dogs, and I love dog actors, and I love this dog actor that they got to be in charge of.
What are we talking about right now?
Castle.
Okay, Castle. I was like, what show had a dog this week?
And Ray is already lost.
Ray's trying to remember the four shows she watched this week and which one had a dog in it.
Sorry. All right. It was a cute dog.
It was. So, what are you thinking of Castle? Like, Castle goes back and forth between having these kind of, like, light episodes. I thought Hillary Burton, who I love and I miss on White Collar this season, was just so good and funny and just did that starlet thing so kind of perfectly based on what we've seen with, like, Perez Hilton and Kim Kardashian and just the way she was acting, which was hysterical.
I agree with that. Clearly it was meant to be a Kardashian, right? Kim or Khloe, because it was like right. two C type of names.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was meant to be a takeoff on that. But then they also showed that there was a little something to her.
Right.
But I thought that she just did a great job. And I didn't even recognize her in the opening scene. And then when they went back to like the photo shoot or whatever she was doing, when they went to talk, they were like, oh, it's Hillary Burton.
Oh, no, I recognized her. I like her, so I knew.
I didn't recognize her look-wise, but her voice.
She really got into this character.
Are you guys enjoying the season of Castle so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, right.
We talked a little bit last week about how it doesn't necessarily need this big through line, that what we mainly enjoy about the show is these types of episodes, that they just have fun with sort of the case of the week. And this one was bringing in both the dog show and then also, you know, a playoff on the sort of reality TV starlet that comes from no real background in of doing anything other than ending up on TV.
Right. You sounded hesitant when you were like, yeah, I'm liking it.
No, I like it. I enjoy it, but it's not a deep thinking show. Doesn't require.
Right.
I don't know. I enjoy it. I just don't have anything great and wonderful to say. I mean, like, I don't think of it as a great. That's horrible, because I enjoy seeing Nathan Fillion every week, so I'm not saying it like I don't think of it as a good show, but like
I don't ever get
all excited to see it. I just enjoy it when I watch it, kind of thing. Like, I'm not right. like, oh god, there's a new Castle tonight.
Right, I get that. I'm the same way. It's a show I enjoy every time I watch it. It's never an issue of not liking it. It's just never an issue of needing to see it immediately.
Correct.
So, our next show is Touch, Season 1, Episode 1, Pilot, Series premiere. I love Kiefer Sutherland. So I forgive Kiefer Sutherland some of the issues with the show, because he was really good, and the boy playing his son was really good, and I love Gugu. She was really good. I don't know how long this can be, continue.
Yeah, that was the only thing about the show is, well, I thought this episode, the pilot episode, I thought was just absolutely fantastic. I mean, highly creative, having all those things come together at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite something to watch for an hour. And I could see them doing close to that well, you know, on an ongoing basis. But they didn't really set up, other than he can sort of see the connections, they didn't really set up, the one thing the pilot didn't really do is set up some sort of, like, what's going on. Is there something else that needs to be found out?
Mm-hmm.
How he does it didn't seem really all that important, really, other than he could see it and some things he set in motion or could connect. And just the way everything connected, I thought was unbelievably creative to sit down and put all that together in one 44 minutes and have everything pay off as well as it did.
But then it's going to be like, well, we know that happened in the first episode, so we know what's going to happen in the second. So my concern is the surprise of how everything came together in the first episode is going to wear off very quickly.
Yeah, that's where I'm wondering, same as you, is where it goes. I'm definitely interested to see, you know, supplemental episodes. There's a lot of shows. There's a handful of really great pilot episodes that are going to air over the next, you know, this one and then a few other things like Awake and Smash and The River and stuff like that, that their pilot episodes are just fantastic, but they also leave you with how long can they go with this, or what exactly that you're like, I need to see episodes 2, 3, 4
right.
to see how they're going to set things moving forward. Because if it just becomes these three things are going to connect each week, that will probably, in a short course, probably become less interesting.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm going to definitely watch, but I don't know. Ray, I'm sure you didn't watch.
I taped it, but...
Oh, okay. That's surprising to me. I don't know why. It just is.
I have not sat down to watch it, though.
You've been a little busy. I'll allow it.
Thanks, Amory.
You're welcome. So I want to... Our next show, because I this is the only thing that I really have something I really think I need to say. The Finder, Season 1, Episode 3, A Cinderella Story. I think this show is terrible.
I don't think it's terrible. I think it's almost like Bones Light. I think some of the changes that they made from the backdoor pilot within the Bones series, you know, adding the teen girl that is on probation and stuff, that those sort of side stories, they're meaningless to me, really. They don't really do anything. But I like watching him and his sort of weird, how he figures things out. Those have been kind of fun. And I thought this episode worked on that side of it, was fun. But overall, the series doesn't really have the same thing as Bones does.
Interest. I don't know. I just thought it, I think that all of the acting is pretty bad, period. Ray, are you watching?
No.
Sometimes I question, like, Emily Deschanel and Bones and how I think sometimes she, like, in the beginning, she's pretty terrible. And she's okay now, but, like, this just seems like it's the same team that are doing The Finder and that are doing Bones, and they're just, I guess all their energy in making a solid show is going to Bones and not to The Finder. I don't know what it is. I guess it's more the acting, maybe. It just seems like,
You don't like it?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I don't like it, and I honestly can't put my finger on exactly what it is, or, like, is there one thing that's making me dislike it? It's just, no. I watched this last week's episode and was just like, really? I don't know. I think it's terrible. Taking a stand. The Finder is terrible.
Sorry.
Well, it's not anyway. Like it's really ripping
not
it
like,
up anywhere.
Well, yeah,
that,
exactly.
I think that the first episode that they aired, you know, as the actual series pilot, didn't really work. It wasn't... The episodes have gotten a little better, at least somewhat. I think the second episode, having it tie in with somebody from Bones, worked a little better because you had some connection to some character there. And I thought the Cinderella story mystery, sort of what was going down, was interesting enough, and watching him investigate that. But I think it's the other side things where they got rid of one of the, you know, the characters and brought in this teen girl to be able to, I don't know what they were thinking, because so far nothing that they've really done with that has been interesting.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of what happens, is the A stories have been fun enough, but the B story is just like, get back to the A story, you know, like,
right.
I don't really care about this.
Well, I don't know. It's terrible. Okay.
Well, I have a feeling that The Finder will do its duty of filling in until Bones comes back, but The Finder probably won't be back.
Yeah, it'll be canceled. So, Chuck, season 5, episode 12 and 13, Chuck versus Sarah and Chuck versus the goodbye. I think that this was too little too late for me, in that it only, like, they knew it was a series finale, but it really only felt like they had tacked on the last 8 minutes of an epilogue to end the series. Yes, I cried. Of course I cried. I cry at everything. But I also sat there as I'm crying, like, I don't like how it ended. I don't like what they did to Sarah. I don't like what they did for the past 2 hours to get to where we are. I don't know. I just felt incomplete.
I would not agree with that at all, but...
And that's why I'm discussing it.
I like what they did. I mean, I thought it was a good story that allowed them to, over the course of it, to bring in a lot of previous stuff, harkening back to the first 4 seasons of the show, and I thought they had a lot of fun with that. I think where it kind of went wrong is that they didn't give you the explicit happy ending. Like, they left it in the, he kisses her, and you believe that Morgan was right, and she got all her memories back, because she was starting to, you know, remember things here and there. But I think they could have went a different way with that. I don't think that they had to leave it in a sort of ambiguous ending.
Yes. And Zach Levi has a terrible cry. Anyway, Ray, I'd like to hear your opinion.
I liked it. I don't think, Amory, that they tacked on the end, like an epilogue.
No, I know that they did. I knew that they knew it was the end.
Amory. I understand what you're saying. However, I understand you have to come to your defense, but you didn't even let me finish. My point was, is that they were setting it up so that they would be able to do the flashbacks and be able to do the callbacks, because why else would they have her lose her memory if not to have those moments where, because otherwise those things wouldn't have made sense. You know, all of the things they did, they could have done a little bit of them, but all of the things that wouldn't have made sense unless she didn't have her memory. And so therefore they had some meaning to be called back to, like, in other words, like the remembering the stuff from the things that happened in the pilot, those things that she remembered, she really wouldn't have had a reason to call back to him unless she was starting to regain her memory little bit by little bit, if that makes sense.
It does, but I also think that could have been done more, like, I don't know. I take issue with it being such an open ending.
See, I don't have a problem. As we all know from my enjoyment of the Veronica Mars ending, I have no problem with it being an open ending. I liked that they kind of left it like you either believe you're more of a romantic and you believe when he kissed her, she remembered everything, or you're more of a realist and you think Morgan's idea was crazy. But at least they tried it. And
but that's the thing. Then I get all nervous, not nervous. Then I get all worried about the characters in the future and how if it didn't happen, she has no memory and it's not going to work because she's not going to remember all of her memories. And they're not going to be in the spy world anymore for her to fall in love with this bumbling spy idiot. And then what happens? Then they don't have a happy ending? I'm a fatalist, if you remember. So you can understand that.
I remember exactly what you are, Amory.
Yeah.
I would say
specifically,
that
a story I told Ray earlier this morning was pretty dire. But it's not the case at all. But in my head, this is where my mind went.
See, I don't agree with that because, one, I don't think that that's what the writers intended. I think the writers intended you to either think she remembered it instantly when they kissed or he's going to continue to talk to her and help her remember whatever. I think they were very highly suggestive that they're saying that when they kiss, they remember everything because they're making it like a Disney movie in that sense, not a...
They definitely went for like the fairy tale ending, except that they didn't show you...
See, I have no problem with that because I feel like they showed enough that I can assume that she got her memory back so I don't have to see the next parts happen. I will agree that I felt a little cheated in the sense that because she had forgotten her memory, we didn't get a lot of moments of Chuck and Sarah that I think we would have gotten in the last two episodes. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, it wasn't this episode. It was two episodes ago, right, where they're on the bullet train?
Yeah.
Where they're... They're both enjoying the fact that what they get out of
the Intersect.
Oh my God. The Intersect. Yes. Thank you. And I really enjoyed that little moment between them when they both are like hesitant to say that they really like it because they're not supposed to like it.
Right. Right.
But then once they admit it, they're like, they're very cute. The two of them together, like, oh my God. And when you do this, so like I would have enjoyed it having in the last two episodes, having more of that and having more of their general interaction that I've always liked between Chuck and Sarah. Like, I don't feel like they had to make her lose her memory. They could have gone a different way and I would have been satisfied, but I was okay with where that's not, you know what I mean? I'm not in the writer's room, so I can't control that part. So I don't really, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you, even though I agree that I would have liked to see more of Chuck and Sarah having moments as Chuck and Sarah, or, you know what I mean? Like their last mission truly being their last mission and not, which I guess it really was their last mission to kill the guy, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, like,
to have
that's
it more
the thing.
Like them working
like,
together.
The whole season, you kind of got the sense that they were going to work towards this happy ending of them getting the house, them having the baby, them finding this happy ending, and they didn't. And I don't know. It just felt weird to me.
Well, I think that's the other thing is they sort of set it up like that picture was going to be important that he draws of them and with the picket fence and the baby and stuff like that.
And maybe it'll be in the extra 8 minutes that'll be on the DVD.
You know, she starts forgetting things like Alex's name and then he shows her that picture and she's like, I won't ever forget that. And so they had that totally set up like that was going to be part of a trigger that helped her start remembering stuff or really help like unsuppress the memories and stuff like that. And then they didn't really go there. They went for the fairy tale, the prince kisses the princess, and she wakes up, or, you know, she gets her memory back.
Right.
But then they didn't show you her getting her memories back. And so it does allow for the fatalists among us to believe that maybe
the fatalists among us, yeah. They
that
totally
maybe it took
up.
A little while to get to the happy ending or something.
They totally broke up.
They did not break up. Jesus. Even if they didn't, she didn't remember, they didn't break up. They clearly were having a moment. And she kissed him back. It wasn't like a quick kiss and then she pulled away. So, really, kiss him back if he kissed her. So,
So that's the and like I said, I still cried my eyes out.
Well, they did a really good job of, especially of...
I think it's because I really like that song, Strange, and It's a Cruel and Beautiful World by Group Love. I love that song. So it was nice to hear that, and that made me get a little teary-eyed, and then...
But I think they did a good job of, even when they weren't doing flashbacks, of doing things like them taking over a Wienerlicious in Germany. And so you had her back in the Wienerlicious outfit and, you know, the Mexican restaurant and, you know, all these things along the way. They did a really good job of...
Oh, we didn't talk about Jester.
Of tying everything together.
Here's my problem
and
with
a great,
Jester.
And I thought a good use of just giving one last Jester performance.
Oh, no, I agree. But I'm a musician. I've been in an orchestra. Take On Me is not a song you have memorized. That you know, as a symphony orchestra, you're going to be able to play it.
Amory, they're good. They're just that good, okay?
You know what? It was fun, though. It was nice for them to finally get, you know, they understand the secret. They come, you know, at the beck and call of these people and save the day, essentially.
They didn't come. They were already there. They followed them.
Right. What do you need from us? What can we do? Like, they thought that they were just part of the team, which I think is just so true to them, which I thought was great. I will miss it. I will miss parties with them, and I will miss seeing them at Comic-Con, but I was ready for the show to end.
I think they gave them a great ending.
I'll agree with that.
With the German record producer or whatever showing up to...
Right.
You guys will be great in Germany.
That leaves an opening for some web series stuff. Not web series, yeah. But like a Funny or Die
right
type of show thing with Jester.
So, we'll see what happens. It'll be nice to see these guys doing something else. Like, this cast, I feel like, won't kind of go into the night. You know, we'll continue to see them, so that'll be good. I don't know. We'll just see what happens in the future for them. All right. Once Upon a Time, Season 1, Episode 11, Fruit of the Poisonous Tree, in which Amory slips further down the fence to the side of hated it.
You hanging off on the other side of the fence now?
I am on the other side of the fence. I'm not down on the ground yet because I still do like Ian Bailey. And I still do like, that's about it. He's a stranger for those confused.
What did you hate about it?
Well, Lana Perilla.
She's never really liked the show, so I'm not...
Exactly. I've never really liked the show. I start to kind of get over the fence of it. I do some things that I really enjoy. And then this episode happens, which, A, why would I ever believe that this horrible woman is going to fall in love with this genie who has no money? Why do I believe that Emma, for a second...
You're not supposed to believe
that.
You're not supposed to believe that. He was supposed to believe it, which he did.
Here's the thing.
He doesn't know she's a horrible woman.
They make this whole thing about how Emma's supposed to, like, be able to tell when people are lying. But she believes this guy right away and doesn't think for a second that he would hate, like, he would be on Regina's take. She's supposed to know people are lying, right? So explain that.
I don't know.
She didn't believe him right off. She started to believe him a little bit after the castle gets torn down and she lets her emotions override her brain and is like, yeah, I need to go after her, however. And then, you know, they did a decent enough job with, if you cut the brake line on a car that you're actually in, I mean, you're not going to necessarily think that somebody would go that far.
Sure, but here's the thing. I can't have every episode, like, we can't have Emma gain ground, and then every episode she do something stupid and be something stupid, and then, I don't know, I will not believe the show if that keeps happening. I do like the Mary and David.
That way, really, has it?
I don't know. I just feel like they keep getting, like, she's going to get somewhere, and then it's all just kind of knocked down to the ground. But let's talk about the stranger.
Okay.
Here's what I think.
Who had hardly any role in this episode, but okay.
No, I know. But he had a major role in that I think he wrote the book.
You do? Why?
Just little things. The fact that he can come into town, nobody else could. And Emma's important to the story, so he's got to be important to the story somehow because nobody else can come into Storybrooke. He's a writer. He said something about how this town provides, like, inspiration to him. And we don't know where the book came from. Didn't he? Like, Henry got it from Mary Margaret. Well, we don't know where Mary Margaret got it.
That's true.
And so I think he could believe that.
I could be on board with this theory.
I think that I'm on board with it. I thought of it. Of course I'm on board with it.
Never mind. I've changed my mind. I don't like my own theory.
Wait, I think my theory is wrong.
another question I had, and somebody else brought this up. So the whole idea of the time and, like, the clock moving. So if time was stopped, does that mean that these people were, like, not aging and that it was always, like, Sunday at 5:30? Or was it that clocks just didn't move?
I'm a little unclear about that myself. It doesn't seem like it was always Sunday at 5 o'clock, but they don't seem to have a good memory of their more distant past.
Yeah, like where they came from and things like that.
Right. Or if they have a memory of it, it's like some vague memory where they don't question, like, why none of them see their parents or, you know what I mean? Which I guess, yeah, if their parents are part of the story, it makes sense. But some of them, it seems like they don't seem to even question any of that, whatever. Right. Or don't question really, like, why they can't leave town.
Or have no thought of ever trying to.
Right. But I think that's part of the spell, is that they just don't think about. So I think time passes, but not, like, not in the sense we would think of it. Like, it passes, but maybe the same week is repeating, but to them it doesn't seem like the same week. You know what I mean? They can't leave town. Right. I don't know. Although I'm not sure, because I'm not sure how that they all seem the same age as they are in their flashbacks. So, and it doesn't seem like they're trying to make them younger in the flashback. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Except for when they're telling a story that's supposed to be coming from a little bit further away, like Snow White when she was in the woods versus Snow White when she was with Charming and the whole thing happened. I don't know.
I hate her curly Snow White hair. I hate it.
But they also show that it seems that in the story that, you know, that Henry has grown up there.
Yeah. But at the same time, they don't remember. Like, like Ray points out, they don't, like, call back to, oh, that time that Henry was five. They just all are kind of there, and they've known Henry as a little boy.
Well, Henry has to, I don't know how that works, though. I agree. Henry has to have grown up to some degree, because obviously Emma had him.
Yeah, they talk about, you know, her adopting him when he was young and stuff like that. Yeah. So he has grown up with her.
I need more detail about the time is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the curse and the part of the... So I don't know that we'll get more details on that until there's more.
Ray, what's that thing you wanted to bring up?
I guess what was weird to me was the... I get confused about the Snow White. It's not that I don't believe that what's-her-face with her stepmother, because we've set, you know what I mean? We've acknowledged that she's the evil stepmother. It's that I get confused about the time that Snow White was in the woods, because
that was after her father died.
No, I know that, but, like, later stories with Charming make it seem, and maybe it's just because the timing is weird. Like, we don't have a real timeline for the flashbacks, like, how long she was in the woods, because it seems like she was in the woods longer than would be, I don't know. Like,
I think she was supposed to be really young.
Story, she's not really in the woods for a long time, you know what I mean? She's with the dwarves for, I mean, I guess we don't really know. There's no real... It's not like they say she was with the dwarves for 3 weeks and then.
Right. And I think she was supposed to be really young.
When she ran away?
In last night's episode.
I think that's part of my problem, is that the flashbacks don't, like, help. They don't try to, like, make them look a different age. So, like, in this flashback, to me, I have a hard time keeping track of, like, at what point this is in the story for her.
Right.
If that makes sense. Because, I mean, obviously, I know it's before she runs away from home and her dad is still alive, but because she doesn't look much different other than her hair.
Yeah. Well, I think some of that, though, is still sort of, you know, fairy tale time. Like, the story takes place, like, this story takes place, the father dies, and then stories with her in the woods takes place after this. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's years after or something like that. Or,
right.
No,
that
I understand.
The time that they
I mean.
Show that she's in the woods doesn't mean that she's been out there for, you know, that she's been out there for a couple years or something. Just that it's been a while and she's on the run, and, you know, there may not be a huge long time period.
I assume that there's some amount of time because she's proficient at getting around in the woods and taking care of herself in the woods, whereas, you know, she didn't grow up as somebody who was in the woods. So in my mind, I'm not saying that there's any implication of that. I'm just saying in my mind, I tend to think of it as some time has passed because she's had to get used to that situation enough that she feels comfortable, you know what I mean, stealing from people on the road and whatever. Anyway, that was all, Amory. I questioned it when I first saw it, and then the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, I guess it makes sense. It just seemed weird to me when I'm watching. But I enjoy the show.
Yeah, they do kind of, you know, they do sort of flip back and forth in whatever sort of backstory they want to attach to the story they're telling now.
Yeah, it's true.
But I think they do a really good job with, you know, going back and forth and showing you how, you know, people became the characters that they are.
I like their retellings of the story. I like trying to figure out who people are.
Like showing how the genie, the genie ends up in the mirror. Right. You know, as the face in the mirror, and, you know, I think they did it, you know, they do a really good job with all that stuff. But the Lana Perilla thing, what exactly are you looking for? I mean, she's supposed to be...
She's a terrible actress.
She's supposed to be an over-the-top fairy tale evil queen.
She's, like, in every role. I think she's a terrible actress. You're not going to change my opinion about Lana Perilla. I think she's terrible.
Here's the thing. I might
so you don't
that
think
she's
pulling off an over-the-top evil queen?
No, I think she is, and it's annoying, and I hate her. It's not going to change my opinion. What are you saying, Ray?
You're supposed to hate the evil queen.
I would agree with your general opinion of her. Not the I don't hate her. I don't have any either way. But I do think that this particular role then is perfect for her because this she plays to it very well. Whether it's because she's just a bad actress and this is how she's tends to act, I don't know, but.
Yeah, I think the character comes off the way she's supposed to.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to continue not liking Lana Perilla. Whether people say that she's supposed to act like an evil queen, I still think she's terrible and nothing will change my mind. Moving on, because I'm not going
to
argue.
Add another actress to Amory's douche list.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you watching the show again, Amory?
Because I want to like it. I like Jennifer Morrison. I like Jennifer Goodwin. I want to like it, so I like, and I keep going kind of back up over the fence, and then they do stupid things like this episode.
She just wishes that a good actress was playing an over-the-top
evil queen.
I'm sorry,
is Lana Perilla your cousin or something?
No, I just don't get
you're
that.
Really upset.
I just don't get. I just don't get that. No, I'm just saying. I just don't get that you say that you think that she's pulling off the character the way that it's supposed to be, but you still don't like it.
She's the best friend of my fourth cousin, so just watch what you say. Maybe you should ask that before you started talking shit about her.
Okay, let's move along to something that Amory actually likes.
The Good Wife. Season 3, episode 14, Another Ham Sandwich. This episode was amazing.
Was it?
Did you guys watch the show? Am I the only one watching it? Ray, you don't watch, right?
I don't watch it.
No, huge payoff for multiple story arcs that have been going on.
Like, it's funny, and I said this in, like, my early review of it, was that the show manages to, like, be suspenseful and, like, have me wondering what could possibly happen next. Like, it was a Lost. Or, like, it was, you know, like, I'm kind of like, oh my god, what are they going to do next week? How is that going to pay off? How is that person going to be, you know, like, get his comeuppance or whatever? And I just think this episode where Peter was like, please leave my office with the Wendy Scott Carr thing was genius. There's another actress. Here's the thing. I can't stand Annika Noni Rose, but I think I don't know. I just like her better, and I love The Good Wife. But oh my gosh, that court case was intense.
Well, like you're saying, I think that you have, while you're like 99% sure that Will's not going to get indicted.
You don't know.
You still aren't quite sure, but yet the suspense is in how exactly are, you know, what's going to happen.
And why is Kalinda turning on them? And what is she handing over to the other side? And
even
oh
after, you know, and then you see, okay, they've got something set up, you know, but what exactly are they playing out? And then you see how it sort of plays out, but then all that stuff that they set in motion, and then when she says, if you don't have any questions, and the one person's like, I have a question, and it just starts this flood of people questioning.
Why don't we indict Peter Florek? And I was like, oh, this took a turn for the worst.
that was pretty good.
They do guest stars so well with, oh my god, Carrie Preston is genius on the show. I want her on the show all the time because she's amazing. Amy Sedaris was great. The only thing, I mean, if I had to pick something I didn't love about the episode, it might be the Eli Stacey stuff because it just seems so out of place. But I guess they have to continue to give Eli stories because, I don't know. I don't actually know why.
I thought it was a fun, you know, sort of B story. And then it also continued to show that the one guy's niece is not just...
His niece, right.
It's
exactly.
Not just nepotism, that she is actually smart and is able to figure things out that, right. You know, that even Eli wasn't even looking for. And, you know, I think that that storyline continued well. And I think it was fun watching them play off of each other. You know, why, you know, he sort of gets, you know, the job that they were both going for, but then she still sort of one-ups him
by his
saying
wife.
That she, you know, showing him that she's taken on his wife's, like, campaign manager for his wife.
Here's a classic case of a show that I did not love, but now I worship. So, maybe Once Upon a Time will win me over. Parentheses, it won't. But there's hope. I just can't wait to see where they go.
You're 99% sure that it's not going to turn around for you, but you're not quite sure.
I'm not giving up on this, and it's a little frightening to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I think that they just do such a good job. Just the pacing of an episode, and even before, you know, the opening comes up and says The Good Wife.
Right.
They drop so much stuff in the setup, you know, the opening of that episode. And then you watch it all play out, and the pieces moving, and them setting this whole thing in motion, and just outstanding.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, all the way down to the, you know, arrest me if you want to, and like you said, get out of my office. You know, we're done here. But yet she still seems to want to pursue it another arena,
right,
so it might
not
be totally done.
Being kind of embarrassed as she was.
Even though she was totally using it to try and not just, you know, go after Will, but hopefully be able to take
also,
down Peter as well.
I love how Carrie didn't want it to be pushed, but he couldn't really just walk out. So I was glad he kind of stood up and was like, hey, this is going too far, even though Wendy Scott Carr didn't back down. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out, and I'm very excited. So that is prime time. Just a couple things on reality this week. Top Chef Texas, I still kind of hate them all. But I still don't... And that's not the thing. It's not that I hate them. It's that I just don't... I'm not rooting for anybody. Like, I don't care who wins. But I like watching Top Chef, so... it's not like I'm never there. It's not like I don't... It's that season of Amazing Race where everybody was dumb and I hated everybody. And so I felt like a chore to watch it. It doesn't feel that way for Top Chef. I just don't have a favorite chef. So I don't really care who wins. But that Sarah, I think her name is, she needs to go. If I have to pick a person I like the least out of these people that I don't like, it's Sarah. I will always, 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 and this is, I mean, I am contributing to the worst of society here. I will always watch The Challenge on MTV, Road Rules Real World Challenge, because I love all these crazy people and their ridiculous antics. But this season, it's Battle of the Exes. Some of my favorites are back, including Mark, who's like 42 and looks amazing. And compared to some of the young kids, they're like 20 on there. Ugh. But I wanted to point out that I hope CT and DM can fight through whatever they're battling, because I like them. And I don't care if CT's stubborn and kind of punches people all the time. I think they're meant to be. So that's The Challenge. Project Runway All-Stars. Austin, step it up. You're sucking. Do something better. Project Runway. Oh, also, what do people see in Michael? He's not good. And lastly, even though I don't like Rachel or Guy, we've discussed this, I still like Celebrity Cook-Off Challenge or whatever the hell it was called. And to the surprise of no one, Lou Diamond Phillips beat Coolio for the $50,000 prize for their charity. So as I'm watching, I'm like, these people have $50,000. Why can't they just give it
to charity?
Why do we have to watch them cook? But whatever.
I don't know. You watched. My question is you don't like Rachel and Guy, but you like the celebrities. So what would happen if, like, say, Lana Parrilla and Eliza Dushku were the celebrities on the show?
I would absolutely not watch it. I would absolutely not watch it. But see, then again, they would be being themselves. So maybe because it's their acting I really don't like. Though I don't really like Eliza Dushku either. I don't know.
I think Eliza Dushku is just like the wishy.
She's crazy.
She plays herself.
Yeah.
She's not the greatest.
So, that's it for today. I apologize to Lana Parrilla's cousin Jason for hating her. I don't know. Is there anything else we wanted to cover? No. No. Who's our guest? Who's your guest next week? I'm not next week, right?
No. Next week, Carla Day from Click Clack and Megan Ward from TV Is My Pacifier is joining.
Oh, Megan, I don't know. We talk back and forth online. I've never spoken to her. Carla, we've had on the show before, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, Megan sat at the cool side of the table with Ray and I at a set visit up in Vancouver.
Oh, the cool side of the table,
that's
eh?
Right.
I knew it was coming.
I wasn't at that.
Yeah, you weren't there, Amory.
Set visit. Whatever side I was sitting on would have been the cool side. Anyway. All right, so.
What was that set visit? The,
Fairly legal?
Yeah, fairly legal.
Psych and Fairly Legal was what those.
Yeah, but it was that day that we spent basically sitting.
Yeah, it was Fairly Legal because we
sitting
were
at a table waiting for them to, between filming scenes, waiting for them to bring out the cast of Fairly Legal.
Cool. All right. Our music today, when it wasn't provided by me and the person who sings Celebrate Me Home, no idea who that is, but I have it in my head. It was brought to you by the IODA PromoNet. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records. Fingers crossed that all goes through in 18 days. I will be moving into my house.
Fuck.
So I need all of your well wishes because I'm a fatalist and I'm convinced the house is going to burn down before I move in. So we'll see how that
really
goes.
Really, of all the things you can think of, that's the one you think of?
I mean, here's the other.
You just go way off the deep end, don't you?
Here's my order of concern. A, that it's like the loan's going to fall through and it's not going to happen. B, that the house might go on fire and burn down to the ground before I can move in. So really, only two options.
Hammering.
Nothing in the possibility that the loan will go through.
Oh, yeah, that everything goes fine? No.
And
no way.
Doesn't
not
burn
all.
Down.
Not at all. Okay, here's why. Let me give a little background. So, not background, but an explanation of why I'm such a fatalist. So the day I got my, like, updated insurance form that says, accident-free forgiveness, a lady hit me in the Wawa parking lot, and it's technically 100% my fault because I was backing out, and she was driving blindly through the parking lot. The day I got my accident-free discount, that's now going to be taken away because a lady hit me. Things fall apart. And there's a little bit of scratch on my bumper, and these idiots want to take my whole bumper off and replace it. Idiots, it's not going to happen. And now I've gone off on a tangent on my insurance company.
Amory, I've knocked on some wood for you.
Thank you.
I hope that everything goes well.
Thank you. All right. Everybody have you know where to find us.
Yeah, don't forget to come by to TVtimes3.com.
Spell it all out.
Which, by the way, for some reason, listening to last week's episode, I forgot to add .com to every URL I said.
Spell it all out, but don't forget the .com. Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, you know where we are.
It's right, Stitcher.com/TV. Rate us on iTunes. Come over to the website and tell us what you think about the shows that we talked about.
Listen, if you're just going to come to the website and tell me that I'm wrong for hating Lana Parrilla, we're done.
Well,
they are.
Don't just do
they
that.
They are.
Come over and tell you.
Don't just do that. Yeah, provide more feedback than Anna Marie is stupid because I just said Anna Marie. Emery. I mean, it's my name, but I was so caught off guard by the fact that I said my full name. I was so angry. Anyway.
All right.
Yes. Or Interpreter Dream or whatever, you
I gotta
know.
Go paint, so let's
Ray's
wrap
gotta
this
go
up.
Paint. She's gotta paint.
Oh, that's not nearly as fun as gotta eat.
Sorry. It's what I gotta do.
It's what I gotta do.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
All right. Bye.
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 We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Okay, I have hit the record button.
Please celebrate me home.
I was trying to think of somebody I could say something about, but I couldn't do it.
I know, I just started singing because I didn't have anything negative to say about anybody. Surprise, surprise! Give me time, it'll happen.
Save it for the podcast.
Oh, Ray, remember that thing you were going to save for the podcast? I don't want you to forget it.
About Once Upon a Time.
Yes, I know. I thought about IMing you to say, don't forget it, because sometimes I forget things. I say I'm going to, in my head, I say I'm going to save for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so anyway. What is this episode number?
121.
All right.